Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Today is Wednesday. It's the 16th of March, 2016. It's the day after the Ides of March. This is John Williams, and it's a very special edition of the Mincing Rascals. We'll do another one on Friday. We had to pump this one out on Wednesday. Joining me are Steve Bertrand from WGN Radio, Kristen McQuarrie from the Chicago Tribune, and Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. Okay, guys, what did you think about last night's primaries across five states? I want to start by just saying thank you to the people of Ohio. Thank you. The union is saved. At least for another day. Eric, what was your reaction to what happened last night?
Well, with Trump, it seems to me that having Kasich win Ohio is just not the worst thing in the world for him by any means. That when Kasich wins, he gets to move on in the race. And this divides up the anti-Trump vote for at least one or two more primaries while he stays in the race. And this allows, I mean, Trump's been winning with less than a majority of the vote. He's been winning with a plurality. It's in the 40s and the 30s. And having another candidate in the race is not all that bad for Donald Trump.
Well, Cruz is the one who let everyone down, right? I mean, had Kasich won Ohio and Cruz scored in maybe North Carolina or Missouri, it'd be very different. Now, the fact that Trump loses Ohio didn't do that much damage when it comes to the delegates.
He was prepared for it, though. I mean, I think that it would have been a huge blow if Kasich would have lost. Trump didn't spend as much time in Ohio. And if you look at Trump's numbers in Illinois, he did well in collar counties that people thought were Kasich had a ground game here. He had all the major establishment Republicans backing him. Cruz had kind of a late surge. He spent a lot of time here last week. So the fact that Trump won Chicago, and right. He won a lot of the collar counties, I think shows, I mean, if we are sort of a template for the country, he is appealing to a wide swath of voters.
But doesn't this also, and by the way, as we record this, with 99% of the vote in Missouri, Trump has 40.8 and Cruz has 40.6. So we'll give Missouri to Trump. And in Illinois, Kasich did pick up four delegates with 20%, but that's all. Trump picked up 34 delegates.
So only 1,200 to go for John Kasich.
Still, my understanding is that the clip at which Trump now needs to pick up delegates in order to stave off a brokered convention is 59%. Doesn't it look more probable that they'll be voting once or maybe twice or more times on the convention floor in Cleveland, guys?
Well, some of these primaries are winner-take-all, right? Some of the ones coming up, Wisconsin, I think, is winner-take-all, and some other ones. And so, like I'm saying, if there are three candidates in the race, that increases the chances, I think, that Trump will win.
It's an interesting point, right? So the argument was that Kasich wins Ohio. That forces a brokered convention. But you're saying Kasich wins Ohio. No one else does anything anywhere else, and that only helps Donald Trump.
You know, I still think Trump does have a decent shot at getting enough delegates to win before the convention opens. So, I mean, obviously the chances keep increasing as he gets...
These Byzantine rules about how we pick candidates, did you guys know all of this stuff? The Rule 40 thing and all of that?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Wink,
go ahead, Steve. Explain it to us, Steve, and please be detailed.
All right, well, you've got the quarterback and then you have a fullback behind him.
It really is hard to follow. I mean, I'm trying to keep up with whether or not the math works for somebody like Ted Cruz to, you know, force kind of what you might consider a runoff at the convention. But I just don't know that the numbers are there, and I don't know that Cruz is going to do well in some of these states that are fast approaching. Some people are saying, just don't even bother having a primary in Arizona. Just give it to Trump because he's so far ahead.
Well, Trump has put the wheels up, too. I mean, he announced this morning that he's going to blow off the Fox debate on Monday.
I don't blame him.
So,
a smart play.
So the less he engages, the less damage he can do to himself.
What's next Tuesday? I don't even know my primary calendar schedule.
You've got two. You've got...
is it Arizona next?
Arizona.
Pennsylvania, I think, is coming up, isn't it?
I wrote it down, and now I don't have the piece of paper in front of me, but there's more to come.
Skipping debates doesn't seem to work well for candidates, though. I mean, I'm not sure why you say that's a smart move.
Because physically he needs to be... campaigning, right? Shaking hands.
And how does the exposure help him?
At this point, he can only damage himself, I think.
Yeah, I kind of... And I want to just talk briefly about what happened in Chicago. Eric, you and I have talked about it on the radio, and Steve, I'm sure you have. Kristen, we all know that they had that rally at UIC Pavilion that was canceled. Eric, you felt that they intentionally put it there so that it would get canceled.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't put it past them having planned to call that thing off well before they actually did call it off. I mean, it was sort of a perfect storm situation for trouble to be brewing in any case. I mean, what, UIC campus of all places for a Trump rally? And so it makes him look like, first of all, it makes him look a little bit like a statesman, like, well, I'm for the safety of all, I'm going to do this. And it also makes him look like a victim or a martyr. Like, they wouldn't let me speak.
My First Amendment rights were denied.
Evil liberals wouldn't let me speak. And I mean, if you look at some, I think there was a Monmouth poll that came out that said that voters felt that Trump supporters were more hardened by that some greater percentage of them were more likely to vote for him because of that than were less likely.
But so were Bernie Sanders supporters. I mean, I think that was almost like a rally for him in a sense to get people ginned up for Tuesday. And I just think you're overthinking it if you think someone on the campaign these presidential campaigns are absolutely chaotic and hectic. Trump doesn't really have any sort of a ground game here. And to think that, I mean, I really think they probably looked at a map and UIC, I mean, he needs a big auditorium. It's close to downtown. There aren't a lot of choices.
Yeah.
It's not expensive. I think to think that they had this whole strategy of chess for that to happen
to
is just overthinking.
Kids.
But maybe they just decided to play checkers that afternoon. Maybe when they saw what the protest was going to look like, or when they realized what they'd gotten themselves into, they went, oh, my goodness.
I think they were smart to cancel it, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I think the results show that.
I think we need to give credit to our fellow rascal, too, right? Because Eric Zorn called that on the last episode, on the Friday before the event.
He said he had a bad feeling about it. But he also thought Paul Ryan was going to be the nominee. I keep bringing that up on these little podcasts.
It's not over.
That's still a possibility, too, isn't it, Eric?
Paul Ryan wouldn't close the door. He did an interview with CNBC last night, and they were trying to get him to close the door. And then he was like, oh, I'm not interested in that. That's not part of my plan.
I'm not even thinking about that stuff. I'm not running for president.
Just me, president? Oh, no.
Can I say something that maybe is nice about Donald Trump? I don't know. I mean, they ran out of ballots in Springfield, right? I voted in the 10th Congressional District at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, and I think for the first time in my life, waited in line to vote.
Yeah.
For the first time, even living in Chicago, it was nice. I saw my neighbors, actually other people who live in the polling place. It really was a nice experience. And the beauty of it was they ran out of I Voted Today stickers in English, so they were handing them out in Spanish.
Oh, that's great.
How
and
ironic.
Then, and
how
then Donald ironic. Trump's people swept in and deported you.
Well, I have been speaking at length on the radio here in Minnesota, at least, about what Eric and Kristen taught me in the last podcast, and that is disparage Trump all you want, but these people behind him, there's something about that. They're real. I think you said they're legitimate or valid or something like that, Kristen. And I think we need to take stock of what's happening here. And it's not just Donald Trump. It's these people. And I'm trying to heed that advice you gave us last week.
Well, I think if it's easy for the left to kind of, and or anybody really, the right to characterize all of these people as one singular focus or to disparage them. But then really, if you do that, you're doing the same thing that Donald Trump does when he disparages Muslims or says like all Muslims, you're falling into the same trap. It's the same criticism leveled at him if you characterize all of his supporters in the same light.
So this is my understanding of what Rule 40 is. Rule 40 was passed, two or three conventions ago, and Rule 40 says that a candidate cannot be submitted for nomination to the presidency of the via the Republican Party unless they have won 8 states outright. And that was to keep some sort of rogue candidate, some, flash in the pan from surfacing at the convention and taking it over. And it seems like that's going to backfire because now that mechanism is going to keep the Republicans from getting a more traditional candidate to overtake the flash in the pan.
Yeah, but John, what you forget is that they get together before the convention and they rewrite the rules every
time. That is a temporary rule, so they could rewrite that one. But that, I think, speaks to Kristen's point last week. You cannot deny these people what they want.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I think if they decide, okay, we're going to erase Rule 40, you're going to have – I mean, Trump supporters are going to be very angry if what they consider to be their rightful nomination is taken from them. And if it's done by changing the rules, they'll be even angrier.
Right.
Even though changing the rules is part of the rules.
Yeah, it is. It's a temporary rule. They get to write it, but they say, okay, we're going to meet again. Now, what are the rules for this game that we're going to play this time in Cleveland? And they could change, eliminate. They could do a lot of things. In a way, maybe they shouldn't worry about how much this will tick off Trump supporters because they don't think that they're going to win the presidency with them anyway.
Every time Donald Trump is on MSNBC, he is asked who his foreign policy advisors are. And this morning he was asked once again, and his answer, and I'm not making this up, said, well, I talk to myself quite a bit.
Oh my God.
I'm a smart guy.
That's, you know, all of this.
So you can take your Rule 40 and do whatever you want with it.
In the shower every morning.
No, but really, but that's the frightening thing. I mean, that really is, if you want to get serious about this for a minute, that's the scary thing. A Trump presidency is a guy who really doesn't know what's going on. In the debate in Florida, when they were talking about Cuba, the crowd started to laugh spontaneously at his answer because everybody realized Cruz, even Kasich, they were all, and obviously Rubio, they were very adept at that one. They knew what they were talking about. They knew the history, the language, the phrases. He didn't. He just said, well, we'll get the best people. We'll get the best people. And it was so clear he didn't know what the hell he was talking about. If that guy becomes the candidate or the president, you talk about a learning curve. That's really frightening to me, and I think a lot of people.
It is, and I think the only way that you could have some sort of an insurgent anti-Trump successful overtaking of him at the convention is if we get to the convention and it truly is divided. So that means if Cruz does really well and starts to overtake him and catch his lead, then you might be able to ameliorate the outrage from Trump voters if, in fact, it is divided, but unless we get to that point, I just don't see how the establishment GOP can Bigfoot all of these.
And the funny thing is that we're talking about Ted Cruz being the moderate compromise candidate. That's just absurd. Ted Cruz is way out there.
Boy, when they all stood up in line that first debate, would you have picked this as the final three? You got a better chance of picking the NCAA basketball
Born
pool
in my bracket.
Than
exactly.
These three.
Right.
You know, we
it's
should have done
bracket
brackets.
Burning, right.
Yeah, no kidding. One last thing for you guys to consider. If Trump is evidence of how angry mainstream Republicans are at their own party and what's become of America, I wonder if Democrats should be worried too. You know what I mean? If you think that mainstream Republican voters are this mad at their party that they would throw the whole thing on the fire for Trump, imagine the distance that we've actually created or are creating between that half of the country and the other half, between Republicans and Democrats. I think Democrats are sitting there kind of amused or thinking this may be good for them, but this can't be in the long run good for Democrats either.
I don't think so, considering you have a 74-year-old self-avowed socialist as a leading contender to Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side. I mean, Bernie Sanders is a nice man. He is ethically he's clean as far as I'm concerned, but he is talking about as much as we criticize Donald Trump for his platitudes, you know, Bernie Sanders is trying to give everything away for free in a country where we are $19 trillion in debt. And analysts have said his programs, his expand Medicare, you know, more benefits for Social Security, two programs that are, by the way, on their way to bankruptcy, free college. I mean, all of these programs would like double the national debt over the next 10 years.
You should tax the millionaires and billionaires.
That's what Democrats do, Kristen.
It's still not enough.
Yeah,
it's still not enough.
Party.
And an 85% tax bracket, I don't care how much you make in this country.
73.
Okay.
I
think the government taking 73% every money, just the federal. This is, you know, those millionaires and billions are also paying at the state level, sales tax, property taxes, whatever. For the government to be, sweeping that much money out of your wallet, I think is wrong and un-American.
Well, no one thinks it's going to happen, and he's not going to win. But the thing is,
but why is everyone outraged at Trump then, and not at the wacky side of the Democratic Party?
I think because Trump is winning is part of it. I think a lot of people
Bernie
feel
is
like,
almost winning.
Well, Hillary Clinton was on WGN this week, and she's everywhere saying, you know, his numbers don't add up. It's not going to work. So I mean, he's getting that. But here's the thing. I think that Sanders and Clinton are running around the country sounding like Democrats. On the Republicans' you know, the standard bearer now, Donald Trump, is running around the country not really sounding so much like a Republican, or not sounding like the other Republicans in the race. So the Democrats will get through this in a way better than the Republicans.
Oh, I get the comparison between Sanders and Trump, but I think there's no there for Trump.
John, isn't what you're asking is that what's going on in the Republican Party is so destabilizing in some ways to our whole political system that Democrats should not be thrilled about.
Right. We're all looking at that, us Democrats, looking at that.
A car crash in the other lane. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, and go, wait, you're on the same highway, Jack. That's your crash, too. This is not good for any of us. So I'm cheered.
Well, that is a question, isn't it, for Democrats? Because do you still root for Trump because he'll be so easy to beat? Or do you fear that Trump will not? I mean, I think
the Democrats want Ted Cruz.
Yeah, right.
They want Ted Cruz because he's easier to beat than Trump.
And he goes by the plan. I mean, Trump every day will be something
and
different.
And he's so far to the right. I mean, and he's on record as being so far to the right.
Cruz.
Yeah. And he's not going to appeal to those working class Democrats who are flocking to Trump right now in a lot of these.
The Rust Belt.
If you think if Republicans are going to stay away, if Trump's the candidate, but really how many of them are going to be standing in line for President Cruz, right? Except that they all hate Hillary so much that maybe that's the motivation, too. I must say, as this thing drags on, I'm amazed.
The podcast or the election?
Okay, we're going to do another one on Friday.
No, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
No, we need to wrap up.
That hurts my feelings.
When we talk Friday, let's talk about what happened in Illinois with Bruce Rauner, too.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. Thank you, Kristen McQuarrie. She writes editorials for the Chicago Tribune. Eric Zorn's a columnist for the Tribune. Steve Bertrand makes fun of me. I'm John Williams. No, listen, I got thick. If you can't have thick skin this political season, then you shouldn't be doing a podcast. I'm John Williams, and our next podcast comes your way on Friday.
Thanks for listening to our special primary result roundup of the Mincing Rascals. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and tell your friends to listen on the WGN Plus app or WGNplus.com. The Mincing Rascals is distributed by the WGN Plus Podcast Network.
You little rascal, you! You little rascal, you!